back in on the drive. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5 and making us your choice of 5 o'clock for Chiefs and Chargers. Carrington here, Dusty back at the studio, Brad Fanning to my left. We are here at the Ainsworth. Come stop by if you want to check out the game, if you want to come grab a drink. It is a beautiful place. They've got great drinks. They've got a great wait staff. We are here inside Park Place getting you ready for Chiefs and Chargers.
Yeah, this place is great, man. They got all sorts of specials going on. Happy hours rocking. They got great food. They got great brunch every Saturday and Sunday. Come on out and check it out. Also, they got an ice skating rink right outside, CDOT. And I know that's where you're headed once the show's done to get in some laps out there. And if you bring your ticket back in, you get 20% off. How about that, man?
We got a lot of stuff to get into in today's 5 o'clock hour. Everything you need to know about Chiefs and Chargers, we're going to compile it into 1 hour. And I think we can do you one better. We can do all that in the hits. Hit it, Dusty.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Right before we get to the hits, a little programming note, because I don't want to be a producer that gets fired like Stephen A's probably did today. Chiefs and Chargers are tonight, but Arrowhead Pride Tailgate, presented by Albright Buick GMC Cadillac, will hit the air at 6. Pete Sweeney, Kent Swanson, Mike Wickett, they'll get you started. Also, the hits, brought to you by the Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, is now open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Everybody, Kansas City, for tease number one, hit number one. Everybody has seen what the Chiefs are going to do with Eric Berry. Is he going to play? Is he day by day? Well, Ian Rappaport said this about 2 hours ago.
Tonight, Eric Berry is going to go out in Arrowhead Stadium and get what probably is one of the loudest ovations you could ever imagine. This is a guy who is one of their best players, actually one of their best players in franchise history. Their defensive leader, who of course tore his Achilles last year, week one, and then missed most of this year with associated heel problems. Now is going to start tonight. Still going to be, I'm told, on a little bit of a pitch count just because he hasn't played in 2 years. It's not like they're going to go out there and have him play 70 plays, but he is going to start, and then it'll be up to Berry himself just to talk with the trainers and talk with the coaches about how he feels. The goal is not for him to go out there and be a Pro Bowler tonight. It's to go out and be a stud in the playoffs, long season ahead for the Chiefs, so they'll be a little cautious.
So, guys, Carrington, Brad, he said the most important thing there. Don't expect Pro Bowler Eric Berry. Just imagine that Eric Berry's back, and that's all you need to know. I've got nothing else to say on this topic, so you guys have the floor. What say you, CDOT Fanning?
After the hits, but, I mean, today's a good day for the Kansas City Chiefs. Hope is the greatest currency that you can have in professional sports. The hope is not with the offense, and what I mean by that is I think we all know what this offense is. It's more than capable of being the best in the NFL. It's more than capable of getting you to the Super Bowl. Man, the hope has to be that the defense can get 5% better, that the defense can get 10% better. And the hope is that Eric Berry can be that. If you look at what their safety position has been so far this season, yo, it has been bad. It's one of the worst units on the team. That if Eric Berry can come in at this point in the season and be an instant upgrade for you, that might be what you need to get over the hump in January to be playing in the Super Bowl this year in Atlanta.
I remember a couple of weeks ago, CDOT, we were talking about a game. I think it was actually the Rams game. And you said all you need is three stops. They need to make three stops on defense, and they can beat the Rams out in L.A. Give me three plays out of EB tonight where he makes a big-time impact of the handful of snaps that he's going to play. And I think the Chiefs are in great shape, and Eric Berry's set up for the rest of the season.
Two.
The hits brought to you by the Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads. It's the official deli of the 610 Sports Radio. The 610. How about just 610 Sports Radio? Good Lord, I am super excited for this game tonight. Earlier on in this show of the drive on this Thursday afternoon, you were joined, as you always are, by Neil Smith, and he had this to say about a special Chiefs player that's finally getting a ring.
Tony was one of those guys that he was destined to be good, man. You know, he made his mark, you know, as a rookie, young guy coming out. He wasn't as strong, you know, and he just grew into himself. And, you know, I knew back then that he was an ex-basketball player. And you know that he had, you know, the skill sets, and was it going to happen for him? And I think it did, man. I mean, over his whole career, he's been nothing but a great player and a great individual off the field. And when I met him and, you know, and happened to just know him, I have nothing bad to say about Tony Gonzalez, and I don't think nobody does.
And Neil Smith hits the narrative on Tony Gonzalez. The guy created the dunk of the field goal post, and I hope to God Travis Kelce gets a touchdown tonight, and he mimics that celebration. You guys, last hit of the day, Tony Gonzalez goes into the Ring of Honor. C-Dot, Fanning, take it away.
I don't think we talk enough about Tony Gonzalez, the football player, in the aspect of, man, it is a violent, dangerous game. It's expected for you to miss sometimes because of how dangerous and violent that it is. From 1998 to 2013, Tony Gonzalez only missed two NFL games.
How many?
To put that into perspective, Sammy Watkins has missed two games this week. But I'm not saying that to put down Sammy Watkins. I'm just saying that we all know that injuries are a part of this, and that's just what you sign up for when you play the game. I remember having the conversation with Joe Mays and Sean Barber of, it's not a matter of if you get hurt, it's when you get hurt as an NFL player. Man, the fact that Tony Gonzalez stayed in such great shape, had the luck, whatever you want to call it, to play that long in the NFL, be as productive as he was, and stay as healthy, man, is an incredible feat. Congratulations to Tony Gonzalez as he goes in the Chiefs Hall of Fame and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, it's going to be great tonight, as if you needed that to get fired up for this game. You got the Chargers. You got Eric Berry coming out or coming back. You've got a night game at Arrowhead. Prime time. I mean, it has everything. And now that Tony Gonzalez is going to the Ring of Honor, you got to be kidding me. The thing that I'll remember about Tony Gonzalez the most, aside from his Hall of Fame career, which only one player in NFL history has more catches than him, and it's Jerry Rice, is the fact that he opened the door for a lot of basketball players to get a shot in the NFL. I told this story earlier in the show. I did a couple of play-by-play games for ESPN back in the day, and one of them was Bowling Green and Kent State. There was a power forward on Kent State's team by the name of Antonio Gates, a basketball player who I think is going to go into the Hall of Fame as a tight end. If not for Tony Gonzalez, I'm not so sure that basketball guys wouldn't have got the shot to play in the NFL. He broke the mold, baby. He opened the door and kicked it in for guys like Jimmy Graham, Demetrius Harris, Rico Gathers, guys like that. They're getting legitimate looks at tight end in the NFL, and a lot of it has to do with Tony G.
And that concludes the hits for today. Let's start with this, because I actually think the biggest thing in this game from an individual standpoint is Eric Berry. Brad, one thing I've learned with you over the last couple years we've done the show together is you hate numbers and stats. It's much more based on feel, and it's much more based in there's some things in the NFL and with sports you can't touch.
True.
Like ERA matters, all that stuff.
Yes.
The tangible numbers matter, but you always want to find the deeper thing of, I don't care about the numbers, give me a winner. I don't care about the numbers. It's deeper than that. There's something that you cannot quantify. Wouldn't Eric Berry be the perfect example of that? Like, I'm with you with Eric Berry. I don't think anybody listening that does not work for the Kansas City Chiefs medical staff or does not work for the Chiefs knows exactly what you're going to get from Eric Berry today. Yeah. I haven't seen Eric Berry play since last September. Now, I used to have a really good understanding of what it was, one of the top 15 defensive players in the league, the best player at his position. But now that you've gone this long, we're all going off hope, we're all going off feel with Eric Berry. Along the lines of what your belief of, there's some things that you can't measure in stats. Is there any player on the team that that maybe better exemplifies that thought process than Eric Berry?
I don't think so. I think you hit it right on the head, man. I mean, you know, I mean, you just talking about Eric Berry right there gave me goosebumps thinking about seeing him run out tonight with the flames firing, the crowd going nuts at Arrowhead Stadium. And we're radio guys. We're fans. We're just dudes. Can you imagine the impact of seeing 29 run out if you're a member of the Kansas City Chiefs and you play on that defense? I mean, everything that that dude has been through, you're telling me that those guys aren't going to want to play just a little bit harder and aren't going to be just a little bit more amped up because a guy that blew an Achilles, has had a blown ACL, beat cancer, missed 29 games, is coming back and he's your leader and your captain. Yeah, there's no stat for that, man. There's no stat for goosebumps. There's no stat for the impact of a leader and a captain and a guy that was an all-pro coming back to your defense in my opinion, the most important game of the season when you can clinch the division and clinch a first-round bye. You cannot quantify. You can't put a number on that. You can't do it. And I can't wait to see the impact that he's going to have on this defense and this team. I already know what it's going to be for the crowd because I'm one of them. We're one of them. We're fans. We're guys. Man, we're Kansas Cityans. I'm looking forward to the effect that it has on them. You talk about the Mahomes defining moment when he got up and he spoke to the team after Kareem Hunt was cut and they had to go play Oakland. That was a leadership moment. There's no stat for that either. That gets you to follow a guy, play hard for a guy, play hard for your teammate. And Eric Berry's going to have that kind of impact for this team tonight.
Then I think about what I do know and what I think is tangible with Eric Berry is, I think you're asking a lot of any team in the NFL, not just the Chargers, to come into Arrowhead today and beat the Kansas City Chiefs when you think about all of it. It's week 13, 14 in the NFL. Everybody's banged up. Quick turnaround on Thursday night. Maybe the toughest home field advantage that any team has in the NFL, a night game at Arrowhead. You have to factor in Tony Gonzalez and the emotion that's going to be in the building, who, in my opinion, one of the guys on the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City Chiefs, Tony Gonzalez, is going to be beating the drum. I think there could be a flyover today. No one's told me that, but knowing Kansas City and his love for flyovers, would not be surprised if that's the case, and we know how emotional that gets people.
Yeah.
Then you factor in the return of Eric Berry, him being announced. Maybe the defense goes out on the field first and the emotional lift that that would give a team. I think you're asking a lot for any team in the NFL. The Chargers, the Patriots, the Rams, the Saints, any team in the NFL to think they could come into Kansas City with how good this Chiefs team is and win given those circumstances. So I know Barry's going to be a part of the emotional lift that I think the team's going to get. And I think more than anything is, and I think maybe where the hope and expectation for Berry is, yo, you can't be as bad as Eric Murray. You can't be as bad as Dan Sorensen. That's where I think Chiefs fans are looking at it.
Yeah.
You might disagree and say the run defense is the worst part. I think their safety play has been bad so far this season. That you're telling me whatever snaps you get from Eric Berry, whether it's 20, whether it's 25, whether it's 30, those are some snaps that Daniel Sorensen isn't on the field. Those are some snaps that Eric Murray's not on the field. Those are some snaps that Ron Parker's not on the field. Man, that's an upgrade in my mind. I don't know what percentage Eric Berry's at. We're all playing hypotheticals with 75, 80%, all of that kind of stuff. I do feel firm in saying that the Chiefs would not bring him back. Berry would not come back if he didn't think that, or they didn't think that he could realistically help this team. I don't know if Eric Murray is realistically helping this team at this point. I don't know if Eric Murray is going to be in the league in 18 months. I do think that about Eric Berry. That's where I think the excitement and expectation stems from with EB tonight.
Yeah, you know, from a on the field perspective, I mean, I think the pass defense tonight is much more important than the run defense. You know, you need a guy like Eric Berry back there, even if you only have him from 10 to 20 to 25 snaps, whatever they're going to use him. You know, the reports are out there from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network that he's on a snap count, pitch count, whatever the hell you want to call it. Put him on the field, and it's going to help your pass defense. We know the problems with the Chargers right now. Melvin Gordon is, what, a maybe at best, and we should find out the inactives coming up in the next probably 45 minutes or so to figure out if he's going to be active for this game. Austin Eckler is not going to play.
We actually got a report from NFL Network, Omar Ruiz, who earlier we had the pro, just spoke to Melvin Gordon. He said he was feeling all right, but when I asked him if he was going to give it a shot tonight, he shook his head sideways, indicating a no.
Well, that answered that question.
It's not official yet, but Omar Ruiz works with NFL Network on the field right now.
Really good reporter.
I think it goes with what we were already thinking. Melvin Gordon is not playing tonight for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, then that makes Eric Berry's return that much more important. I mean, you need help on the back end. Like, you need help on the back end. And if you just joined the breaking news, Dusty was a little late on that breaking news sound, but that's all right, man.
It's all good.
Doesn't sound like Melvin Gordon's going to be playing tonight, according to a report from and a tweet from the NFL Network's Omar Ruiz. So that makes it even more important on the back end of this defense, because the pass defense is going to be the thing tonight. You know Phillip Rivers is going to throw it 50 times. He's going to go out. He's going to go for Keenan Allen. Potentially, what do you think, 15 to 20 targets?
I think Keenan Allen's going to get a lot of targets.
He's going to get a ton of targets. You got Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams. Those guys average over 17 yards a catch. They could play too. So having Eric Berry back tonight is so much more important. I still think the run defense is worse, but tonight the pass defense is the one that's going to have to stand up.
I want to get back into Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen in just a bit, but I want to talk about this game from the Chiefs' perspective. I think the three biggest advantages in the division – have turned into these three things, because you guys made fun of me for it all year. I picked the Chargers to win the AFC West at the beginning of the season. I had more understanding of their quarterback at that point. Didn't know a whole lot about Mahomes. We'd only seen him start the one game. I was siding with the quarterback. I was also siding with the Chargers defense, maybe being the best unit in the league, or excuse me, in the division. I was wrong about that. The Chiefs are winning the AFC West. The Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. I will not fight you on that. You guys will call me Chargers dot. I deserve that. But I look at the biggest advantages that currently exist in the AFC West. Why the Chiefs have been 20-1 in the division. I look at these three things. Andy Reid versus the other coaches. You got Andy Reid. You got John Gruden. You got Anthony Lynn. You got Vance Joseph. It's not close between Reed and those other coaches, and that's why the Chiefs have had such a dominant performance in the AFC West over the last 5 years. I look at the other advantages, whether it comes to quarterback. Phillip Rivers is a good quarterback. Every general manager in the NFL will tell you they rather have Patrick Mahomes than have Phillip Rivers. Every general manager in the NFL tells you they rather have Patrick Mahomes than have Derek Carr and Case Keenum. If you could combine both of their talents into one individual, you much rather have the Chiefs quarterback. And the Chiefs and Arrowhead at night might be the biggest advantage that any team in the NFL has. So you factor in those advantages. It's going to be hard for a team to overcome it, and that's why it looks like the Chiefs are poised to run away with this division and dominate the NFL for a long time. You're stable at coach. You're stable at quarterback. You've got a great fan base. You've got a great home field advantage. And with all of those things, it is just difficult to pick the Chargers in this matchup.
It is, and I think you throw in the quick turnaround, too, and that's the other part of it, man. I don't see how a Chargers team without Melvin Gordon, without Austin Eckler, could come into Kansas City on 3 days rest and come in here and beat the Chiefs. I don't think it's possible. I really don't. And I know that sounds crazy, and I don't want to hex the Chiefs tonight because anything could happen in the NFL, but come on now. Tony G beating the drum, Eric Berry returning, night game, Thursday night football in Kansas City. Yeah, and so I'm with you. I think it's going to be so hard. I got a tremendous amount of respect for what the Chargers were able to do at Pittsburgh, coming back from 16 down and beating the Steelers on the road. That meant to me that they're not the same old Chargers. But, man, the setup for tonight, I don't think it's conducive for any team to come into Kansas City. I don't think if the Rams came into Kansas City tonight, they would win this game. I don't think if the Saints came into to Kansas City tonight, they would win this game. I don't think if the Patriots came into Kansas City tonight, they would win this game. So there's no way in hell the Chargers are coming in here when Tony Gonzalez is beating the drum, Eric Berry's returning, it's a night game and it's a quick turnaround and it's drizzling and it's cold. No way in hell the Chargers win this game tonight.
And that's why I think about this game when it comes from a Reed and Mahomes standpoint. Why I think this game is so important for Reed and why I think he gives you the advantages. You always find a way to win in these scenarios, man. 20-1 in the division. Think about those. Those are your hardest games. Yeah. Think about the Patriots traveling to Miami and some of the battles they've had. Think about the Patriots traveling to Buffalo. Man, the divisional games are supposed to be hard.
I mean, those are they know us too, right?
Agreed.
Like, we know them, but they know us too, and they still can't beat us.
Those are the teams that you know the best. You play them twice a year. You play them more than you play anybody. You know those teams in and out. The fact that the Chiefs, 98% of the times, find a way to win those games is a tribute to their coaching. And I think the biggest difference between the Chiefs and the Chargers is, I would say it's very similar to the Royals in 2014 and 2015. Certainly in 2014. The Royals were not the most talented team in 2014. Sure. But what they normally would do is they would wait for you to make a mistake and they would hammer you with it. That's what the Chiefs have done against the Chargers every time. If you look at turnover margin and turnover differential, man, the Chargers have 18 turnovers in the last 9 games against the Chiefs. The Chiefs have 4. The Chiefs take control of the football. The Chiefs don't find ways to beat themselves. The Chargers normally do. That's coaching, that's execution, that's talent, that's all of those things, and that factors in. I've been saying all week, the biggest reason why I can't pick the Chargers in this game is, at some point, you got to give me a reason to pick you. Last 9 times against the Chiefs, you've lost any way you can. Week 1, come from behind victories. Man, anytime or any way you can beat an NFL team, the Chargers have found a way to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. And 20-1 in the AFC West, that's dominant.
Yeah.
That's completely dominant. I can't pick the Chargers. I don't know how you can in this situation.
I mean, the Chiefs went right in week one. Let's go back to the week one game. You talk about different ways to beat the Chargers. Hell, Tyreek Hill returned the first punt he saw for a touchdown. And then they couldn't catch the football. And they had him in their place out in L.A. They find different ways to lose. Just like you can find ways to win, like Mahomes did last week against the Ravens. You find ways to lose games, too. Any weekend warriors out there, guys that play sports, whether it's softball or my old man league or volleyball, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. You're either on a team that finds ways to win or you're on a team that finds ways to lose because you don't know how to win. And for whatever reason, the L.A. Chargers have found ways to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs.
So when I look at this game and the injuries, it sounds like Melvin Gordon isn't going to play. I think that was expected by me and you. Spencer Ware will not play today. Obviously, Kareem Hunt's not playing in this game. No Austin Eckler in this game. The weapons on both sides, you've really taken away some of the better pieces for both of these quarterbacks in this matchup. I think the Chiefs are going to be better equipped to overcome the injuries than I think the Chargers are going to be. Sharkandrick West has some experience as being a number one running back. Damian Williams started four games for the Dolphins last year. Man, I look at the other side, 32 carries between the number one and number two running back for the Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Jackson and Dre'Quan Newman. Now, people seem to like Justin Jackson. He's a popular fantasy football pick this week. Who knows what he can do? He's kind of an unknown. He only has 27 carries in his NFL career. Maybe he goes off in this game. I just think more than anything, the biggest test in this game is going to be the Chiefs going up against, or excuse me, Phillip Rivers going up against the Chiefs secondary.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the game in which Phillip Rivers is handing the ball off 30 times in this one. I don't think they're going to have a similar mindset because we talk about all the time. There's two, I would say, clear ways to beat the Chiefs. It's either play them like Baltimore, run the ball, play great defense, try to keep Mahomes on the sideline, or try to do it the Patriots way, try to do it the Rams way, and try to turn it into a shootout and just hope that you got more bullets in the end than the Chiefs. I don't think the Chargers got more bullets than the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't either.
I don't think that's a game they can come in here in the Arrowhead and try to win that game 41-40. I don't think that's the game that the Chargers win today. I also don't think they're winning a game like Baltimore and trying to really grind it out against the Chiefs. I don't know if they're capable of doing that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a game in which Rivers says, get on my back, I'm going to carry us to the finish line. This is the game if you're Phillip Rivers. You got to throw for 350. You got to throw for three touchdowns and no turnovers. Keenan Allen, you got to have over 100 yards, maybe two touchdowns in this game. The top two guys for the Chargers have to play exceptionally well, and you're asking Bosa and Ingram, you got to wreak havoc. You got to live in that Chiefs backfield, and you got to really try to disrupt Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and the three guys I'm going to be looking at too, and when we had Sam Munson on from Pro Football Focus, he talked about this a little bit. You know, Phillip Rivers is great under pressure, and Rich Gannon talked about it earlier in the week when we had him on. He talked about, you know, that Rivers is so good in what he described as a muddy pocket when you've got arms and face mask and pads and everybody flying around trying to get to the quarterback. Rivers is great. But let me throw this at you. I mean, the Chiefs are number two in the league at getting to the quarterback. They're number two in sacks. You're going to have D Ford coming around one side, Justin Houston the other, Chris Jones up the middle. I'm not so sure that Rivers has seen that before in this atmosphere because it's going to be loud. It's going to be tough for him to hear. And that's another reason why I like the Chiefs' chances. I think Rivers will get his numbers. But I think the Chiefs are going to get to him too. I think Ford's going to get him once. I think Justin's going to get him once. I think Jones, his sack streak's going to continue. They may sack him five times tonight. We're talking about a guy that can't move laterally. Now, he's got a quick release and all, but I think Rivers is going to get hit a lot tonight in Kansas City, which is another reason why I don't think they have a shot to win the game.
To me, it's much more about maybe Rivers getting his numbers, and it's much more do you have meaningful numbers in this game. The last four times that Phillip Rivers has traveled to Arrowhead, he has not thrown for 300 yards in those four matchups, two touchdowns and six interceptions. I said it earlier, man, the difference between the Chiefs and the Chargers is the Chargers find ways to lose games in these individual matchups, and the Chiefs find ways to win games. Man, some of that's on your quarterback and not being able to elevate his play in these kind of matchups. This is a game, if the Chiefs lose, and I'm not picking them to lose, this is a game in which Rivers is going to have to be exceptional. You got to be that Hall of Fame quarterback that you and I talk about if that's the case. I just don't know if he can. Like, I've been saying it all week. If this defense cannot play well in this scenario, I'm not sure if there is a scenario in which this defense can really go out there and ball out. I'm talking about the emotional advantage of getting EB back. I'm talking about being at home. I'm talking about quick week. I'm talking about the Chiefs have everybody as relatively healthy as possible. Both of these offenses are banged up. Chiefs defense is not banged up. Chris Jones is going in this game. D Ford's going in this game. Justin Houston's going in this game. Allen Bailey's going in this game. Everybody that matters for the Chiefs defense will be active and playing and as relatively healthy as you can be at this point of the season. If you can't go out there and be flying around and making plays in this, we got to have a serious conversation about the defense. I think it's more likely that the Chiefs blow the Chargers out than the Chargers winning this one. I can see the Chiefs really coming out here, really feeding off the energy from the crowd and really putting a statement out there at this point in the season. We're the best team in the NFL, and we're going to pound a team that has 10 wins. I think the Chiefs could really run away with this one, especially early. If this is a game in which Rivers turns the ball over early or a fumble happens and then the Chargers get down 10-0, they are not coming back the way they did against the Steelers. They get rolled in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Rivers – he had a decent game against the Chiefs in week one. He threw for 424 and three touchdowns, and that wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough. And I'm with you. I think if the Chiefs come out and they jump on the Chargers quick, they're in trouble. And that makes it even better for the Chiefs defense because then you can sit back and then you can just let Jones and Houston and Bailey and Ford, and those guys go after the quarterback, which is what they love to do. You remember what happened last week? And I said in the Ravens game, and it's always important on first and second down to put a team in third and long. I mean, that's obvious. But with Lamar Jackson and with the Ravens, it was really crucial because Jackson was completing less than 60% of his passes. So if you get him in a third and long, he's going to have to throw it. He's not going to run it. And that's when the big plays happen. So if you put the Chargers in a spot where they got to throw it every single time, then Rivers is going down and the Chargers have no shot.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll play for you what Sam Munson had to say about what could be the biggest mismatch for the Chiefs going up against this game. And there's one player that Fanning is going to have the spotlight on who he thinks needs to have a good game. We'll talk about it coming up. Getting you ready for Chiefs and Chargers on Thursday Night Football. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
So it is now official. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon will be inactive for tonight's game. We'll get to you the inactives as quickly as we have them. I fully expect Spencer Ware to be on the inactive today for the Kansas City Chiefs and Sammy Watkins. That should be coming up here in about 20 or 30 minutes. I'm pretty sure it will come out before the end of the show. The moment I see him, I will do my best to make sure that we get him to you. One thing that I am worried about in today's game, and I think you would be foolish to completely disregard the Chargers in tonight's matchup, even though the odds are stacked against them, is I don't have a whole lot of trust and confidence in the Chiefs secondary.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that bad, but ain't that good either.
No.
You got Kendall Fuller, who I think's been good. You got Steven Nelson, who I think can get a little grabby at times. Same thing with Orlando Scandrick. You are going to ask them to go up against one of the 10's maybe generous, one of the 15 best wide receivers in the NFL in Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen against the Pittsburgh Steelers had 19 targets. He was getting the ball early and often. Still no Melvin Gordon in that game. Melvin Gordon will have now missed the last three Chargers games. The thing that would scare me in this, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, is Keenan Allen just having one of those kind of days. I'm talking about a 12 catch, 150 yards, two touchdown kind of day. I would say a day similar to what we saw Amari Cooper do last year against this team in that game on Thursday Night Football. That would be a concern for me. I want to play for you guys what Sam Munson had to say about Keenan Allen and the kind of volume that he gets on a game-to-game basis. This is Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think one of the things that makes those two running backs, Gordon and Eckler, so good this season is that they've both been major parts of that passing game. They're not just ball carriers. They're not just two-down players that have no place on the field on third downs or in obvious passing situations. They're both dangerous in the passing game as well as on the ground, and that's the biggest thing that they need to be able to overcome. With the new guys that are going to be out there, they need guys that can be factors as receivers. And a lot of times, teams struggle with young backs, not because those guys can't be dangerous receivers, but because in order for them to be dangerous receivers, you need to be able to trust them in pass blocking. You need to be able to put them out there in passing situations, knowing that they understand the protections and they won't get your quarterback killed. And that's the reason that a lot of young running backs don't see that much playing time on passing downs. And then you're right, that does kind of swing the balance even more towards Keenan Allen, he is that offense. You look at just the weight of targets that Keenan Allen gets compared to anybody else in that team, and it's massive. He's got 114 targets this season. No other wide out there has got more than 50. Mike Williams got 47 targets. Tyrell Williams got 45, but all of the balls go towards Keenan Allen. So he's the guy that you need to focus on shutting down, but they make that harder than a lot of receivers. Some guys are lined up, and you're only ever going to see them outside. If you wanted to track them with the number one corner or you wanted to double-team those guys outside, you can do that. The Chargers will move Keenan Allen to the slot. They'll get him off the line of scrimmage. They do a lot creatively to make it hard for you to give him all of this attention. Plus, he's so good off the line. He has one of the best releases of any wide receiver in the game. So it's really hard to just put a guy and jam him at the line of scrimmage and try and disrupt his timing that way, because he's so good at making that guy miss instantly and just immediately exposing you for a big game.
I look at this game, and what would worry me most if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs is Keenan Allen. He's their best offensive weapon. I don't really think it's close. and they're not shy and they're not hesitant to give him the ball a lot in this matchup. Maybe you have the strategy kind of like we see in basketball. You let LeBron get his and you try to shut down everybody else. Maybe that's the strategy. But I know one thing. You do not want to get Keenan Allen going in this game. He is a very dangerous wide receiver.
And the guy that I'm going to keep an eye on the most, the corner that I'm keeping an eye on the most, is Orlando Scandrick. And the reason I say that, great quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, pick on him. Now, let's just go back to the Rams game. Orlando Scandrick was getting beat. He was getting cooked. He was getting barbecued. What else was he getting in that game?
Fricasseed.
He was getting fricasseed and deep fried and boiled. So I think Rivers is going to look at that matchup. But if he sees Keenan Allen on Orlando Scandrick, I mean, it's over. You know exactly where he's going. And I don't mean to be bagging on Scandrick. He's been a nice fill-in. The Chiefs were in his spot. They thought the other guy, David Amerson, cut him. They went and they got Scandrick. He's a guy that's on the tail end of his career, and he's had a nice year for him. But the really good quarterbacks, like Jared Goff, picked on him and picked on him and picked on him. Brandon Cooks had 107 yards in that game. You had Robert Woods with 72 and a touch. They also took advantage of their tight ends in that game and the safety issue. Now, the safety issue hopefully is taken care of a little bit with Eric Berry coming back in. But that's the guy that I'm keeping an eye on. I'm not worried about the run defense tonight because I don't think they're going to run the football much. It's the pass defense. You brought up Keenan Allen. I bring up Orlando Scandrick. Whoever Scandrick's on, he's getting picked on. And I don't know if Eric Berry's enough to help him out on that.
We'll certainly see what happens in this matchup. I could see the Los Angeles Chargers trying to go at Berry and trying to go at Scandrick really early on. Now, we talked about it. It's going to be an emotional venue. It's going to be jazzed up. If you're the Chargers and you get the ball first, man, I don't know if it's a bad idea to, on first down, try to throw the ball deep, try to get Keenan Allen one-on-one, and try to see what Eric Berry's recovery speed is and what his lateral quickness is. If you're going to try to take the wind out of the Chiefs' sails, that's what I would do if I was the Los Angeles Chargers. I want to get into this when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. I feel like all of us have created these, like, artificial checklists and boxes and things that Mahomes needs to accomplish to be a franchise quarterback. This is one of those games. Thursday night football. Your number one running back is out. Your number two running back is out in this one. Your number one wide receiver is going to be hobble. Maybe he's playing at 80%, but is going to try to give it a go to help give you the advantage that you need. You want to talk about as banged up as we've seen the Chiefs offense be so far in 2018, this would be it. This says a lot about Mahomes. Can you carry this team? This is not going to be a game that Damian Williams wins for you, in my opinion. This is not going to be a game that Charkandrick West wins for you. This is the game where your MVP is going to have to go out there, play well, and secure a victory, and then you can spend the next 10 days trying to get guys healthy and really start to look ahead for the playoffs and really start to prepare your team. This game says a lot about Mahomes. He's passed some big tests so far this season, even in losses, coming back in that second half against the New England Patriots, how he performed on Monday Night Football against the Broncos. This is another one of those tests you always talk about. This is another one of those checkpoints. Yeah. Short week, team in your division, banged up. You were on the injury report this week. Can you put it together in 4 days and find a way to carry this team to a victory and have a good Red Monday or good Red Friday, give yourself a couple of days off, and then come back refreshed for the second, really the third part of the season as you get closer to the playoffs? That's what's before Patrick Mahomes tonight as he walks into the arena.
Yeah, he's got a. And by the way, he did walk in with a sweatshirt on, which was amazing. I retweeted it. You can watch the video that the Chiefs posted. It's a hooded sweatshirt, and on the back of it is that amazing picture of Len Dawson at halftime of the Super Bowl, sitting in a metal chair, smoking a dart, and drinking a Fresca. That was on Mahomes' hooded sweatshirt that he wore in tonight as he arrived at the stadium. Yeah, this is about Mahomes tonight, man. You know, he had the MVP moment last week against the Ravens on that 4th-and-9 play. He was phenomenal. Shouldn't have been able to make that throw, yet he did. But tonight, he may not be injured, and that's one of the boxes that we wanted to check off. How can you play when you're injured? I don't know if he's injured or not, but I guarantee you he was feeling it on Monday. 30 of his throws were under pressure. He got hit 15 times. He may have only got sacked twice, but if you watch that game, Mahomes took some hits now, so he's not going to be feeling 100%. This isn't like going into week one when they took on the Chargers the first time. He's got some miles on that odometer right now, and I promise you he's not totally 100%. So now we're getting into the hard part of the season. We're in week 15 of the season. Didn't play last year, played one game, and didn't play this many games in college. Now is the time you find out if he can go in and do this. I think he can. I think he's going to go out there and kill it tonight because nothing seems to bother this guy. He can have his MVP moment. The one thing that he has that he hasn't had that Drew Brees has had is a stinker of a game. Mahomes hasn't had that. Even in the games they've lost, he's put up huge numbers, and he's a big reason why they stayed in the game. Tonight's a golden opportunity not only for the Chiefs to close out the Chargers, win the division, get a first-round bye, but for Mahomes to cement the MVP for those people that don't believe that he deserves it.
I look at the Chiefs, and I would say today the four things that you need to lean on. You need to lean on Andy Reid, who was 20-1 in his last 21 games in the AFC West. You lean on Patrick Mahomes, that has a chance to win MVP. You lean on Tony Gonzalez, or excuse me, not Tony Gonzalez. You lean on Travis Kelce on
Stephen
Tony
A. Smith
Gonzalez.
Would say lean on I know, on yeah, Tony yeah. Gonzalez. I think he's playing tonight.
I messed that up. Priest Holmes might have a good day.
Yeah,
with
I think
this
so.
One.
Yeah.
So you got to lean on Travis Kelce on Tony Gonzalez's night, who is the best tight end in the NFL. You also got to lean on that Arrowhead crowd. This is the game in which I think you can expect some false starts. You can expect the crowd to play a part in this.
The mystique is there tonight. Do we agree? I mean, the Arrowhead mystique.
I've been telling you that for all
no,
week.
No, but it's a night game, man. The mystique is there tonight.
You told me they got to win the playoffs.
They do, but it's a night game on a Thursday night with a division on the line with Tony G there and Eric Berry coming back. There's mystique there tonight, man.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk about the greatness, which is Tony Gonzalez. I think the inactives will be out for tonight. We'll get you ready for that. And we'll continue to get you ready for the Arrowhead Pride pregame show as we count down to Chiefs and Chargers. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Houston has traded its pick to Kansas City. The Kansas City Chiefs have selected Tony Gonzalez, tight end, University of California.
Tonight, Tony Gonzalez is going into the Chiefs Hall of Fame. He is going into the Ring of Honor. Certainly well-deserved, one of the greatest Kansas City Chiefs players in the history of this storied organization. Spectre, he loves Mount Rushmores. It's a staple of sports talk radio. Who you got on your Mount Rushmore? Spectre loves him. I think if you're making the Mount Rushmore for the Kansas City Chiefs, it has to include these three people. You can have an interchangeable fourth person, and I won't fight you on that. But the three undeniable pillars of it, if we're talking about players, not Lamar Hunt, I'm talking of players, not Hank Stram, players for the Chiefs. It goes Lynn Dawson, Tony Gonzalez, and it goes Derek Thomas. That's the list. Now, whoever you want to put for the fourth, there's probably like 11 people
Will
that you
Shields.
Can put on the fourth.
You waited to say this until Neil Smith left, I noticed.
I mean, I think Neil would admit he's not on the Chiefs Mount Rushmore. I think he would admit
Dusty that. Dusty made a good point. What about Will Shields, Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I don't know if he's undeniable on there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's undeniable.
Because of the position that he plays or what?
I think that's it. And I would say those other guys can't move. Like, I think there's a chance that Patrick Mahomes can be on there by the time he's done.
Yeah,
whose spot
with
is he taking? He ain't taking Lynn's spot.
No.
He ain't taking Derek Thomas' spot. Is he taking Tony Gonzalez' spot?
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. So, to me, the fourth one's kind of interchangeable. They've had great players. Willie Lanier, Will Shields. Like, they've had some amazing players.
Yeah, Buck Buchanan, Otis Taylor,
they've
all those
had some
guys,
great
man.
Players.
Yeah.
Three of those guys are unmovable to me. So, today is a huge day in Chiefs lore. Tony Gonzalez, first ballot Hall of Famer, arguably the best player ever at his position, one of the top three players in your organization's history, in my mind, is going into the Hall of Fame today.
Yeah, man. I mean, those three guys are locked in for sure. I think Dusty makes a good point with Will Shields, though.
I mean, Shields is great.
I think he should be on there, at least for right now. Now, if Mahomes has his career and does what we think he's going to do, then I think Will gets bumped. You know, if Mahomes goes and wins a Super Bowl, you got to put a Super Bowl winning quarterback up there.
I agree. I'm just saying is I think there's three guys that are unmoved, and that fourth is just a matter of preference. If you're putting Will Shields on your Chiefs your Chiefs Mount Rushmore, I'm certainly not going to argue with you. Maybe one of the top five offensive linemen of all time. I'm not fighting it. If you pick Willie Lanier, I'm not fighting you on that. If you pick Bobby Bell on there, I'm not fighting you on that.
Yeah.
But the three, I'm fighting you. If you come up
those three. No, you're right on that, man.
If you come up with the Chiefs Mount Rushmore and you ain't got Derek Thomas on it, we don't need to have any Chiefs conversations. You aren't a Chiefs fan to me.
Yeah, I mean, you got three Hall of Famers on there. I mean, how can you argue that? No, I'm with you, man. It's going to be cool to see Tony G tonight, to see him do that. To see him beat the drum, go in the Ring of Honor, and do it during this game when the Chiefs can win the division and – lock up a first-round bye and do it at night at Arrowhead is going to be truly special. I mean, it really is. I mean, think about it. We've been spoiled with tight ends in Kansas City. I mean, we really have. I know there was a little gap there. But, man, you get Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. You've had these guys here in, the last 20-some-odd years? I mean, that's pretty damn good. Because, in my opinion, Travis Kelce is the best in the league right now. He's an all-pro. And Travis Kelce's going to go down to one of the best, too, in my opinion, if he can stay healthy. I think he's phenomenal in this league, too. But to have Tony G back, I'm not going to fight you on that, T-Dot. He belongs on there. He's special, and it's going to be so cool to see him there tonight.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. You just think about Tony Gonzalez and how he revolutionized the position. I mean, we weren't talking about former basketball players turning into tight ends the way we are now without Tony Gonzalez. Paved the way for a guy like Jimmy Graham, who had a good run as a tight end. Paved the way for a guy like Antonio Gates, who
we'll
had a good
tonight.
Run.
Yeah.
Like Tony Gonzalez, you want to talk about a truly revolutionary player. That's what Tony Gonzalez was. You knew whenever you had a fantasy team, whenever you were deciding, you knew every year you were going to have a guy on your team that was going to play all 16 weeks, have 70, 80, maybe 90 catches, have between 850 and 1,000 yards, going to have 8 touchdowns. You guys know Tony Gonzalez played on some bad Chiefs offensive teams where he was the only offensive weapon, where the defense knew who they could key on. Yep. He could always find a way to get open. I think about Tyler Thigpen. The only way we loved Tyler Thigpen was because he played with Tony Gonzalez. Because you knew Tony Gonzalez, he was going to get 15 targets in that game because
that's all they had, man.
Because Tyler Thigpen wasn't messing around, man. Tony Gonzalez was obviously an incredible player.
And I think the part that doesn't get talked about enough is the fact that he was a basketball player. Now he played football, Cal, too. But he was a basketball player, and that opened – a lot of eyes to NFL execs to look at some basketball players. Demetrius Harris did not play college football. You know, he was a straight basketball guy. And yeah, I'm putting him in the same sentence as Tony Gonzalez, only because he's a Chief and because he was a basketball player. But Antonio Gates was another one of those guys. Initially went to Michigan State, then went to Eastern Michigan, ended up at Kent State on an Elite Eight basketball team. I couldn't believe when I saw his name on a roster when he was playing for the Chargers in Cleveland. I'm like, is that the same guy? If not for Tony Gonzalez, I don't think these guys get legitimate looks in the NFL.
So the Chargers just released their inactives. We should have the Chiefs coming up very quickly. For the Chargers, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, Chris Landrum, Cole Toner, Sean Culkin, Dylan Crantrell, and Brandon Mebane. Those are the inactives for the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm trying to see if the Chiefs have come across. If I see the Chiefs, we'll get to it coming up in just a bit. BJ Kissel said he just left the officials meeting, so he should be getting the inactives coming up here in just a bit. Let's talk about this really quickly. What are you expecting from Eric Berry? What are you expecting from Kelvin Benjamin?
Yeah, it's a really good question, both of them. From Eric Berry, I'm just expecting between 10 and 25 snaps and to make a couple of plays that have an impact on the game. And my hope is, we've been talking about hope a lot when it comes to Eric Berry, that he stays healthy and he's okay. If Eric Berry can make between 3 and 5 impactful plays, I think, in the passing game tonight, I think that'll be a success for him. It'll be a success for the Chiefs. I'm thinking maybe Kelvin Benjamin gets 3 targets. I don't think there's any way in the time that he's been here he can learn everything there is to know about this playbook. But I also think Andy Reid's smart enough to know how to use him and put him in a couple of situations, if he sees the matchup that he likes, to take advantage of it. So I think if Kelvin Benjamin gets on the field, I think it's going to be in a situation where you throw it up for grabs somewhere near the goal line, or, you know, if you're going to try to throw a fade in the corner of the end zone. That's what I'm expecting from both of those guys.
I've been telling you guys all week, it's very simple for me. I fell for it the first time. I'd be damned if I do it again when it comes to the Los Angeles Chargers. I picked the Chargers before the beginning of the season to win the AFC West, and I firmly ask for your forgiveness, and I apologize to you because that was a stupid thing to do. I refuse to pick the Los Angeles Chargers over the Kansas City Chiefs until they give me a reason to do it. They've given me no reason to do it. Are the Chargers better than they've been in years past? Absolutely. There's no denying that. Are they better than the Kansas City Chiefs is the question. They've given me no reason to believe that's the case. I'll take the Chiefs 31-21 in this game. I think Mahomes makes enough plays. I think the defense actually gets a boost from Eric Berry. I think this is one of the best defensive performances we see from the Kansas City Chiefs this season. I'm going to take the Chiefs at home in this one, 31-21. I think it's more likely that the Chiefs blow the Chargers out than the Chargers win this game.
You know, yesterday, C-Dot, I said 31-21 as well. The more we talk about it, the more we analyze it, the more we break it down. I'm going 38-21 now. I think the Chiefs are going to light up the scoreboard tonight, and I'm with you on the defense. I think they have a big game.
So the inactives today for the Kansas City Chiefs, Spencer Ware is inactive and will not play. I reported that earlier today, trying to find the other inactives really quickly.
Here, I got him.
You got him. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins, Spencer Ware, Cam Irving, which means Jeff Allen will be in there. Garrett Dieter's inactive. Khalil McKenzie, Deion Yelder, Tano Passanio, which to me is somewhat of a surprise. So Tano Passanio inactive, Spencer Ware, Cam Irving, the two big ones.
Keep it locked in for more Chiefs and Chargers conversation with Arrowhead Pride. They do a fantastic job. I'm going to be listening on the way home. Thanks to the Ainsworth for having us out here today. A very beautiful spot. If you're out here in Park Place over in Kansas, come stop by. We'll be back tomorrow for Red Friday.
We get to be in studio too, man.
I know. I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's the drive. Thank you so much for listening today.